It's a place of fellowship in unity. Now you can sit down, even though you'll be standing very soon. So he hailed from Idoma State in Nigeria. I have his years, but I will not tell you. Freshly married. Anointed. Having met him, I realize he's an easygoing person, not complex, very open. And Ghana is privilege. I think I might say on behalf of our president and the people of Ghana, hallelujah, we welcome with a standing ovation and honor to God and a voice of shout. Let's welcome to this platform all the way from Nigeria at Goshen Ministries, Apostle Michael Orokpo. Thank you.
Glory. Praise the Lord. It's a great honor to be here this evening to share with God's people. I sincerely honor and appreciate the Father. There are many anointed men of God, but there are few good men of God. And it's an honor. I'm humbled to be here. My gratitude goes to the Lord and, of course, to my spiritual father. He opened the door to Ghana for me. In fact, he led me by the hand to Ghana. And it's a great honor to be here. I celebrate the leadership of the house, every pastor in this meeting, and everyone that has come here this evening. The Lord bless you richly in Jesus' name. Let's lift our hands toward heaven and appreciate the Lord. Just talk to him from the depth of your heart. If you are expectant to receive, please extol the name of the Lord. He's the one we've come to look upon, the bright and the shining one, the morning star. The one that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. The Bible said he dwells in light that is unapproachable. It's an honor for mortals to be summoned into fellowship with the divine. Before time was, before creation was, he dwelt in himself. There was a rich fellowship that did not require any creation at all to validate. In himself, he was self-sufficient. It's a product of mercy and love that he decided to embark on the project of creation. And so every time mere mortals like us are summoned into the community of the divine to participate in that immortal fellowship, it's an honor that we can never take for granted. So lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Father from the depths of your heart. Darakado sevena hadia, ligabata kizo zavanata, rakido sabandre katatale, ori kabata sida faragana. Stir your spirit and make sure you come alive in the presence. It's not a place where your senses can travel. It is the spirit of man that has the capacity to fellowship with the divine. And so we stir our spirits tonight and we come alive. We ascend to the mountains of God. We participate in the realms of fellowship eternal. We come before the company and the spirit of just men made perfect. The assemblies of heaven. As we lift our voices to cry holy to the one, the monarch of Zion. Pray in the spirit and come into that fellowship tonight. Rabadosi filakadak. Barina satekavo. Pratiti zanzoria patakaboria danas. Kai.
You reign, you ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign.
That words are no longer enough. It has to be spirit to spirit. Because everything you say will dwarf the experience of that reality. It's a dimension where all the creations of God assemble. There's no one language that is sufficient. So you just begin to chant in the spirit. You begin to bring out the waters of eternal life that dwells on your inside. So out of your belly, flowings of rivers of living waters. That's what we are doing. We are chanting in the spirit. Because we can't communicate with tangible words. Hey. thank you. We exalt your name. We give you praise tonight. Grant us access into depths in the Spirit. Cause us to look upon the lively oracles of your Spirit. Grant us access into depths and dimensions where the secrets of creation, the secrets of life are kept. The sacred grounds where only men approved of immortal spirits can walk upon. Grant us access to those dimensions tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Take all the praise. We love you. We extol you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please sit down for a moment. Thank you so much. God bless you. You can play for me on the keyboard. You can help me play. Most of the things I want to share, they are not in my note. So I may need to ascend to be able to capture them. The utterances that are required to communicate the weight of God's presence, you can't trap them in a book. It has to come fresh. So you need to help me to ascend. Alright? That's why I had to sing for a while. To stir my spirit. Psalm 100, verse 4. It's a prayer conference, and we want to explore the depths of prayer. The greatest asset of the body of Christ is not earthly. The greatest asset of the body of Christ is spiritual. The body of reality that God commits to us as a weapon of advantage is not natural. And because the greatest of our blessings are in the heavenlies, we need a spiritual technology by which we can ascend to the realms of the spirit in order to lay hold of the things that are our advantage. If the advantages of a believer were natural, prayer would not have been so important. But the intelligence and the engineering, the architecture that weaved and created this realm was so designed that the advantage of the believer is locked up in heavenly places so that corruption cannot find way into it. This is why the Bible said if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the advantage of the body is held up in heaven so that only men who can journey there can lay hold on it. Church don't grow because of principles and strategies. Church grow because there is a secret about church growth that is in the spirit. When a man touches it, anything he does works. If it were natural, charlatans would have laid hold on it and corruption would have become the order of the day. Because of the delicate design that the Lord put in place, prayer therefore becomes one of the most strategic advantages of a believer. Because only by prayer can we ascend to the mountains of God. And if we don't ascend to the mountains of God, we can't touch the things that are eternal. So it's a prayer conference. By so doing, we may have to travel deep in the spirit. I've not come to manifest gifts of the spirit. I've come to put a button in your heart so that you too will journey to the places where men look at the oracles of God and behold him, and they can find a bearing for their life and destiny. Are you together with me tonight? If we are together, shout hallelujah. So in Psalm 100, from verse 4, mercy, Holy Spirit. Oh, Baka says, Sili Ghana. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's not my emphasis tonight, so I may have to leave it. But when you begin to travel with God, you'll discover that many secrets are locked on different mountains. So when they say gates, it's a journey in the spirit. Where you met God yesterday and the realities you've touched, when you meet God again, 1 second later, he has moved. He is always in emotion. And every dimension of God is kept, is locked away. Even in the heavens, not every angel have access to certain realities because there are gates that secure dimensions in the spirit. That's why when John ascended from the Isle of Patmos to the heights of heaven, he saw 7 golden lampstands and he saw the throne room. He thought he had seen it all. And then after a while, he heard a voice behind him and he said, come up, Peter. And a door opened in heaven. And when he entered heaven, he said he saw a strong angel. A strong angel, not a weak angel.
That's a ranking angel in the height of God, in the height of the heaven. And the angel began to tell John to look at the destiny of the human race. He said, man is doomed. That was the level the angel could see. Because when he saw the iniquity of man, the verdict that came from the throne room is that man had sabotaged the government of God. Therefore, there was no hope for man. And John in heaven began to cry. And then another angel that had access to another depth, where the angel did not have, came to him and said, weep not. There are verdicts, but these verdicts are locked at different and levels in the spirit. He said, weep not. That thing that angel told you is true. Hope you know somebody can meet you today and say, I saw curses in your father's house. And because of that curse, people will not prosper. And then somebody else, like Papa, will now come with another lenses and say, from what I'm seeing in the spirit, there's a new verdict from heaven that you will prosper. Meanwhile, the curse is a proof. But you see, somebody that have accessed another gate came with another legislation. It came with another verdict. So the curse is true. But when you come with a higher verdict, they say the light shines in the darkness. The darkness is there. The curse is there. But the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Most of the men prospering in this world, there are curses on their head. But because of the verdict they are working with, the curse is no longer a factor. They can walk upon a charm. The charm is not a factor. If you like, gang up and say it will not work. You are joking. They are talking from the depths of gates. So when he say, enter into his gates, he's talking about realms where verdicts are kept. What will make you today have already been altered before the foundation of the world. But how far have you traveled? There are realms you will travel into and you will come out with light. The volume of darkness doesn't matter. The gang up doesn't matter. You are come. When you begin to talk, they will say you are proud. It's not their fault. Where you went to, there is a language they speak there. Don't worry. I sing a lot. Mariga vonde sipakade, tatila sinioda kavak, brata susu setenish, karianda sovele, afeanda suniata, aboria kanae, pampale susata, pandele de faros, we align the angels of the present. Ok, parone ferabiata kira, ando lavaki, sazila karianda topakade. Thank you, Father. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. But there is something else that the Bible mentioned. It said, but come into his courts with praise. We cannot understand prayer until we understand the dynamics of the courts of heaven. You know, the theme of our conference is praying the burdens of the Spirit, not praying your needs. The man who prays his needs is a babe. There is a realm you get to that the jealousy of God is invested on your life. Before you ask, God answer. While you are yet praying, he appears because you are God's agent. If you send the ambassador, if I were in Nigeria today and I want to touch the ambassador of Ghana, I will be in trouble even with my own government. Because if I touch him, I have violated bilateral laws. It will put the country in jeopardy. So the jealousy of my country will be invested to preserve the ambassador of Ghana. If they are interested in our relationship, it will be foolishness for the ambassador of Ghana to pray for what he will eat. The country that sent him there is responsible for his welfare. So when believers who are ambassadors on earth begin to pray for need, they don't understand the dynamics of the courts of heaven. So when you say, let's pray the burdens of God, I am assuming that everybody here is a mature believer who have journeyed from the place of Lord, give me bread and wine. And he wants to find out how the kingdom of God works on the face of the earth. He said, come into his courts with praise. When you study the scripture, you discover there are three kinds of courts in Zion. And I'm not saying this to sound esoteric. I just want to show you the protocol of accessing the burdens in the heart of God.
Because only few believers in the world today can pray the burdens of God. There are many people praying, but when you check the content of their prayer, they are just massaging their flesh. It's actually not prayer in the realm of God. It's actually an attempt to use God to satisfy their own desire. So God is not part of that equation. God is only being used like an ATM machine. So when we talk about praying the burdens of God, a man must understand the verdicts that flow from the courts of heaven, the courts of hell, to be able to access that which is in the heart of the Father. Because what's in the heart of the Father is a secret. It's not for everybody. He said in Psalm 25 verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. So the access to the secret of God is your adequate participation in the covenants of God. It's not for everybody. So not many people know what is in the heart of the Father. They might even be gifted, but they don't know what God is saying concerning Ghana. So their prayer content will not include the agenda of God for Ghana or for the world. When they come for a vigil and you say God wants to bless you, everywhere will be on fire. But when you say God wants us to tarry for Ghana for 30 days, you'll be shocked how many will come to church. Because some pray their need, others pray the needs of God. The men who pray the burdens of the Father are the men we want to address in this conference. So when you enter the realm of God, there are three kinds of courts. The first kind of court you will find in Zion is the court of the Godhead. The court of the Godhead is an exclusive reserve of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. No created being is granted access into that court. It's like the executive court of heaven. So when the guy was saying, come into his court, he knows what he says. David is a prophet. He's not just talking because he's inspired. He's talking the things that he has seen and have heard. He knows that the way to administer government on the face of the earth is not a function of creativity. It's not even a function of strategy. It's a function of verdicts. That's why before David goes to war, he consults with the Urim and the Thummim. He must find out what is the verdict of God before he embarks on battle. And because David knew this secret, he fought 44 battles. He didn't lose one. There are men who don't know how to lose because they fight with verdicts. Before they go into war, the enemy can be at the gates. They are not moved until Abba speaks. Because the victory is not predicated on the number of your army. The victory is predicated on the verdict you are running with. If you have the right verdict, you may be one man, but you will fight with the strength of many. But many Christians don't understand the protocol of tapping into the heart of the Father to administer the burdens in the heart of God. So David began to teach us that when you access Zion, you will discover that there are courts in heaven. And everything we do on earth is a function of the verdict that you can access from the courts of heaven. What you are doing here, sir, if you leave this place and somebody else comes here who do not have verdict over this territory, it will go down. You can even leave everybody. The Bible spoke concerning Isaac. He dug a well, and the Philistines collected the well. He left them with the well. He dug another one. The one they collected dried. The new one he dug, there was water. So they were no longer satisfied. They left it and came here. They thought it's about where to dig where. It's not about where to dig where. There was a verdict. Thirsty in Gera, and in this land I will bless you. So even if he breaks a rock, water will come out. There's a verdict. Thirsty in Gera. They collected that well. He left them with it. It's not about where. It's about the man that carries the waters of God. And when he dug the third one, they knew it was foolishness to collect because the one they take dries. So there is something about the man. So they came to him and said, we have come to understand that you are bigger than us. So go away from us. Men who are invincible are men who carry verdict for every season of their lives. When you enter politics, you need a verdict. When you carry that verdict, even if the whole world fights you, you will succeed. Before you enter ministry, there must be a verdict. Before you enter business, don't go there with strategy. There are too many educated men on the street. You need verdict. So David began to teach us the strategy of dominating the earth. And he said it's about the courts of God. And the first court we see from scripture is the court of the Godhead, where the Father, the Son, and the Spirit dwells. You know, God is not primarily in heaven. I shouldn't have said this. If you study the scripture, the Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:16 that God dwells in light. And in 1 John
chapter 1, verse 5, he says, God is light. That means God dwells in God. Nothing can accommodate God. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, he said, with the heaven, even the heavens of heaven contain me. That's God asking. And then you ask yourself, how does God enter heaven? There's a technology that God carries in himself. When you look upon God in Revelation chapter 5, the Bible says God is clothed with jasper and sardine. It's crystals. God clothes himself with crystals. And because God is light, God can be refracted. So it is different dimensions of God that enter heaven per time. That's why the 24 elders, every time they look up, they see another dimension. Every time they look up, because what's happening is different dimension. If God enters heaven, heaven will collapse. Heaven can't contain him. So when Jesus resurrected, Jesus didn't go to heaven. In Ephesians 4:10, he said he ascended above the high heavens. There is a realm called the God realm. That's where God dwells. But when we want to do business, the first thing we need to understand is that that realm of God that is above the high heavens, there is an entity that sits there. His name is called Abba. In that court, every authority about creation is handed to them. It was from that court that God spoke before he created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:26. Hope you know, before the heavens and the earth were created, God was. So if you think God dwells in heaven, you are joking. Because God has a house that is apart from heaven. And when God began to speak, he said, let us make man. Let us make man. That's a court in Zion. The Father was talking to the Spirit. And the Spirit was talking to the Son. So three of them, co-inhering as one, were talking at the same time. Let us make man. And that verdict, every verdict that comes from that executive court, you can't challenge it in time. Because the law that governs that court is the will of God. So when you want to pray, find the will of God first. If the verdict of that court is against it, don't waste your time. It will not work. Your prayer is not as powerful as the will of God. But if that is the will of God, pray with thanksgiving. Because whether the devil likes it or not, it will happen. It is in that court that they make men. That's why I told you, men are not made primarily for human connection. Everybody you connected to must be directed to you by Abba. If God says, I will make you, even if your country doesn't like it, it will make you. Because it's a verdict from the executive court. Let us make man. It was from that court that Lucifer was sentenced from heaven when he violated the throne of God. He said, I will exalt myself to the high heavens. And in Revelation chapter 12 from verse 3, he said he was cast from heaven to earth. In that court, they don't consult anybody. The sovereign powers of God dwells there. So when we talk about the burdens of God, that's where we are hoping to travel to. If we can't pick what is in the heart of God, we will not have impact on the earth. That court is governed by the will of God. That's what David is saying. You may read it and say, this is one verse of scripture. Men who have depth understand that nothing on earth is a coincidence. Everything that happens on earth was sat upon by a well-defined court of competent jurisdiction, passing verdicts that must hold sway among mortals. That's why I said the heart of the king is in the heart of God. He turns it where he wants. If he speaks, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was powerful. And then one of the watchers was sent on errand from heaven. He said, you will walk on your hand and your feet like a beast for 7 years. Instantly, he ran out of his palace. In the courts of heaven, the laws of earth don't govern God. It is an act of God's love that makes him participate in the laws of the universe. Remember, God told Abraham, I will raise a generation after you. He committed himself. But when Israel became a stiff-necked people, he told Moses, I will wipe them out. He couldn't have been wrong because he was talking from the executive court. Everything from the executive court is correct. Only the will of God prevails there. But beyond the executive court, there is another court called the legislative court. If you study Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 22, that's the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. It is in the executive court that we negotiate with God. I want to talk about prayer. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because prayer is too deep to try to explain. The only way to understand prayer is to begin to pray. It's a futile attempt to try to teach people prayer. Just pray. I thought prayer was our Father who art in heaven until I started praying. And one day I was on a 21-day or a 40-day fast. And when I was praying about the land, suddenly a being came out of the wall of my room. And this being was naked. Female being, but the head was the head of a man. So I knew it was a prince of perversion. Female with the head of a man, carrying an apron like a Babylonian prostitute. And when I saw this being, that was when I discovered that we are not covered with walls. It's foolishness to put your hope in the wall of your building. Man was not created to live behind walls. Man was created to live in the presence. If you leave the presence and you start living behind walls, you are finished. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is here. Yahweh, Yahweh. Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is here. Yahweh, Yahweh. There are many courts in Zion. What we are doing on earth is a product of vetting. What we are doing on earth is a product of legislations. In Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 22, the Bible began to reveal to us. He said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. It began to show you that you are not just a brethren or a people gathered together singing worship. No. He said, you have come to a mountain. The mountain of God is where the laws of God proceed. He said in Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2, Micah chapter 4 verse 1, he said, let us go to the house of the Lord, to the mountain of God. He said, for out of Zion proceeds the law. So like the legislative chamber where laws are made, there's an executive court in heaven where laws, verdicts are made. Laws are conscripted to guard men on the face of the earth. If you can't ascend those mountains, your prayer won't be powerful. What the faith preacher teaches you is just to declare and it will happen. How many things have you declared that didn't happen? The problem is not a problem of faith. Because when you gave your heart to Christ, Romans 12 verse 3, he said he dealt unto everyone the measure of faith. And he said if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can command a mountain to move. It's not a problem of faith. It's a problem of understanding. The faith preacher who is making decrees, there is a realm he talks from. And he will not tell you to labor to ascend that realm. And then when you come home and somebody is in coma, you start running helter-skelter. When your wife can't give birth, you start running helter-skelter. And then you go and look for the man who speaks from that realm. And then he comes and he says, child, come out. And then suddenly you make a superstar out of him. The question is he the only person that has such rights? No. But he has an understanding you don't have. If you begin to do what he does, you will have the same result he has. Because that man dwells on the mountain. It's called the legislative court of heaven. There are four laws that govern the legislative court. The first is the wisdom of God. The second is the wrath of God. The third is the grace of God. And the fourth is the mercy of God. Everything that happens in the legislative court is an interplay of the wrath of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the love of God. Take for example, one man fell. The verdict from the executive court is that the wages of sin is death. Now, this man had died, and God didn't want to kill this man. Because God had an eternal agenda with man. So the issue is brought to the legislative court. And suddenly, the wrath of God said, the wages of sin is death. So man must die. But the mercy of God came alive. They say mercy prevails over judgment. Now, mercy prevails over judgment. If mercy prevails over judgment, then God will be unjust. Because the wrath of God said, man must die. Mercy said, mercy prevails over judgment. So what do we do? Do we leave man in sin? God forbid. So what did God do? The wisdom of God came alive. The only way to manage the equation is that God will have to become man. And God will die. And God will not just die in the place of man. Man will be included in God by faith. So when God is nailed on the cross, man is nailed on the cross. When God dies, man dies. When God is buried, man is buried. When God resurrects, man resurrects. So at the same time, justice and mercy was achieved. And then when this man resurrects, then the grace of God is released to enable the man to live above sin. So he doesn't continue to live in sin. Wrath say man dies. Mercy say man will not die. Wisdom say God become man, die in the place of man. And grace say man should be enabled to live above sin. That manipulation, that arrangement is in the legislative court of God. So every time there is an issue, where we take it to is in the legislative court to find out what are the possibilities that are available. If there is no possibility available, then there will be no hope. But every time you come to the legislative court, there's an infrastructure of mercy. There's an infrastructure of grace. There's an infrastructure of love that work against wrath. So you must always have a verdict in the throne room that gives you an advantage. So the legislative court is what gives us the provisions that makes prayer an efficacious tool in the spirit. Without the legislative court, prayer will be useless. Because there will be no law that backs your position in heaven. And finally, there is the judicial court of heaven. In the judicial court, you argue your case. While the legislative court is governed by the wisdom of God, the executive court is governed by the will of God, the judicial court is governed by another principle. Not wisdom. Not will. The judicial court is governed by the laws of righteousness. So if you come there and you can't argue your case, even though there are verdicts in your advantage, you will lose. So many people are sick today, but the verdict from the legislative court is that man, on account of his stripes, he said you were healed. God is not healing anybody. It's only babes that assume God is healing people. God has done with the project of healing. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. So when you come to God that you are sick, he's wondering what you mean by sickness. He has dealt with it long ago. By his stripes, you were healed. That's the wisdom that came out of the legislative court on account of the finished works of Christ. But you need to argue out your case in the judicial court. And when you come to the judicial court, you must be guarded with the word of God. Because when the accuser brings his challenge, you will respond. When he brings his challenge, sometimes maybe you are sick, for example, and your body itself is bringing a testimony that is contrary to the provisions of the legislative court. You are feeling the symptoms of fever. You are feeling the symptoms of cancer. And to make things worse, you go to the doctor and you say, yes, you are sick. But the legislative court says, let no one in Zion say, I'm sick. What will you do? So you have to come and begin to argue your case. You will not deny the fact that you feel the symptoms of sickness, but you will enforce the provision that makes sickness alien to your body. So what do? You said he was wounded for my transgression. You are arguing in the court. You are not talking. Now, people don't understand the legality of the spirit realm. So they assume it's a religious thing. So they are saying it and they are sleeping. It's not what you say sleeping. It's what you say with your guard on. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes I am healed. If that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in me, he will revitalize my mortal body. And as you are arguing your case, a point will come, the power of God will be released. Because you have won the verdict. These are the three courts that govern the outcomes and the experiences of man. But the problem with man is that man wants to remain on earth and do the business of earth in an earthly way. So he doesn't ascend to where his advantage is. If you take a census in church today, very few people have prayed out of the earth. They don't know what the spiritual looks like. Everything they know is a story they are told. So all their experiences are the same with the unbelievers that don't know Jesus. And most times, the unbelievers are even better. Have you not seen situations where you go certain places, somebody is 30 years old, they say, I've never been sick. A friend came from the UK to visit, and then she was bitten by mosquitoes. She said she has never been bitten by mosquito. She's never had malaria. She was 33 years old. Meanwhile, you are here. If you recover from fever, you want to break the whole church with testimony. Now, there is somebody who doesn't know Jesus, but has never been sick. So the unbelievers will outdo you if all your advantages are earthly. So when we talk about praying the burdens of God, we are talking about a dynamic of the spirit that makes us journey out of this mundane into this divine, to find out the things that are ours and to engage until we take them. Because if we don't achieve that, kingdom can never go forward. Have you not seen the condition of many believers? When you say it's a healing service, a whole stadium is packed and close to 90% are sick. Close to 90%. The evangelist will try his best by the reason of the grace that he carries. And maybe 200 out of 30,000 people are healed. 200 out of 30,000. He tried his best. So it will be futility to put your hope on the evangelist. While you thank God for what he carries, you must trust God to step into a place in God that is your advantage, and you will stay there. If you can't journey that far, this earth is treacherous. The Bible said the earth is on water. It shakes. What you held on to yesterday, you wake up today, you discover it's not even there at all. So there must be a journey that we must embark on. There are forces that want to keep us here, but our advantage is not here. Our advantage is in the spirit. So when Noah delivered the word in Genesis chapter 8 from verse 20, the Bible said Noah raised an altar before the Lord. And he said when God smelled the incense from the altar of God, he said God said in his heart. Meanwhile, what God was saying in his heart, Noah knew. God was not talking. God was talking in his heart. Noah was on earth, but he knew that there is a technology of the altar that causes a man to migrate from earth, not to heaven, but into the heart of the Father. And that transaction took place after many years. Moses came back, and by reason of the mountain, he ascended Horeb. And while he was there, Moses traveled back and wrote everything that happened between Noah and the heart of God, as if his ear was on the heart of God, taking his heartbeat. How did this man journey this far? There is a technology they know in the spirit. They gave themselves to it, and they don't only know what God says, they know what is in the heart of God. That's how this man became champions on the face of the earth. A man can never pray the burdens of God if he doesn't go to where God dwells and find out the verdicts of God. Many times, to pray the burdens of God, it will cost you a lot of things. Because the idea of praying the burdens of God is not just to get an answer. Answers are the least things you get when you pray the burdens of God. The idea behind praying the burdens of God is to make you become a creature of eternity. So a point will come when you master that corridor, even while you are walking in the market, you won't need to find out from God anymore. God will now begin to bring breaking news to you. He said, will I do a thing and not tell my servant Abraham? This is the plan of God for every believer. But there is a problem. Not many can travel in the spirit. We are locked up here. So there is a protocol that I want to share with us tonight. Just the next 15 minutes, and then we will engage it briefly. You will see what will happen. There is a journey that every believer must begin to embark on periodically to find out what is God saying in the executive court that only God knows. He has given man access. They come boldly before the throne of grace. How many times have you journeyed there? What is God saying? There is a crisis in the land. Men may gather religiously and pray, but you want to find out what is the stake of the church on this matter. I don't just want to come and pray loud in tongues and quote scripture. I know there is something happening in the spirit realm for this thing to be happening. Daniel knew that it was not by chance and luck. So he said he went on his knee for 21 days. And suddenly, Gabriel appeared to him. He said, I was made to fly swiftly to bring you skill and understanding. And when Daniel prayed that night, Babylon broke. Because it's beyond talking. It's to find out verdicts that are locked in the spirit. Praying the burdens of God is not religious prayer. It's to pray the verdicts in the heart of Abba. But many can't go there. What is the protocol? The first protocol is the protocol of stamina. If you came to church and asked for prayers to be made for 3 hours, you will be shocked. Many will sleep off. Many will get so frustrated they will go home. And many will not come to that church again. What are we praying for 3 hours? Now, if you want them to make to look at you like an alien, tell them prayer today is 12 hours. What do you mean by that? 12 what? 12 minutes or 12? Because they don't know what they will be saying for 12 hours. But the men that know what I'm teaching you, they know that 12 hours is not enough because they want to travel. And where they are going is far. Because in the spirit, you don't travel by running. You travel on your knees. They want to go far. They want to journey very far. So sometimes, it's after 7 hours that their wings come in the spirit. They have prayed for 7 hours before they began to ascend. So you cannot pick the bodies of God. You can be an apostle. I'm not talking about titles. I'm talking about the men that stand in the courts of heaven. I'm not talking about the church you belong to. I'm talking about those who have come into the church of the firstborn, who can appear in the mountains of God. I'm not talking about what you believe or your doctrinal sentiment. I'm talking about men who has a name in Zion. Men that speak on earth and the jealousy of God is invested because they know something and they've given themselves to it. Many times before you can journey in the spirit, God will make sure you build stamina on earth. I've said it many times. When Moses began to do business in the heavenlies, many times Moses at the age of 80 will climb Mount Sinai, which is over 7,000 feet tall. Moses was 80 years old. That's stamina. The guy tarried there. When Jesus wanted to go to the cross, Jesus prayed for 3 hours. And it was not just, Father, I love you. Father, help me. The Bible said as he prayed, his blood was as clots of blood. It is the highest level of terror. But he was pressing against something. He will not back down. He came to his disciples and said, you mean you cannot tarry with me for just 1 hour? The guys had not known business. It was when Jesus left and they started pursuing them with bows and arrows. That was when they discovered that they must have to build stamina. So at some point in Acts chapter 4, they caught them and they flogged them. Never to preach in the name of Jesus. They now discover this message is not linguistics. This message is a witness that you carry when you have accepted the mark of death. So the Bible said they returned to their own company and they no longer prayed for less than 1 hour. He said as they prayed, the place where they were, they prayed until they received feedback from heaven. We don't know how long they prayed, but time was no longer a factor. Stamina became what mattered. He said, as they prayed. So they were not praying from morning to evening. They were praying until there was a feedback. Because if there's no feedback from heaven, if they enter the city, their head may be on a plate. Stamina. Many believers don't have stamina. The Bible said in Luke chapter 9 verse 28, it said after 8 days, you know, the disciples didn't know what Jesus was doing. They thought Jesus just woke up as the Son of God and he throws into the city. And they say, you be healed. They didn't know what was happening. Many times in a crusade, Jesus will withdraw from them and go to the mountain. They will go and sleep. In the morning, they will wake up and say, Master, everybody sick thee. They thought he was going to sleep where there was fresh air. So one day he took them to the mountain. And the Bible said, as he prayed, he said the fashion of his countenance was altered. So Jesus prayed until his molecular structure was reconfigured. It's called the stamina in the presence. A man who does not have that level of stamina can never do anything that is worthwhile in this life. He may be very wealthy, but God, you know, God doesn't choose men because of wealth. If it's because of wealth, it is men like Carlos Slim, Elon Musk, and Warren Buffett that would have been the lead apostles in the world. Wealth is not part of the criteria, but God needs wealth to advance the kingdom. But the man that God wants to use his wealth to advance the kingdom is a man that has the name of the Lord written upon him. Stamina. This is one thing lacking in the church. We enjoy good music, so we can come to church and dance all night. But when you want to find out those that God can put burdens off their shoulder, tell them to pray. And when they start praying, sometimes off the keyboard, and find out the people who can climb the mountain. Because when you begin to climb the mountain, many times your legs are blistered. Your sandals will cut. Many times there will be threats of falling off. That's where you master the arts of the spirit. David said, the Lord teaches my hand to fight and my fingers to war. He didn't learn it by playing in a classroom. He learned it when he was journeying through the dark quarters of the spirit. That's why he said, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He said, by God, I ran through a troop. By God, I leaped over a wall. There was stamina with David. A time came when even his army rejected him. Do you know what it means when your top generals begin to throw stones at you? Not this one, we come to church and then we say the atmosphere is not right. When you start doing ministry in the marketplace, you discover it's not keyboard that produce atmosphere. It's where you are talking from. The sound of creation, Shekinah is here. Stamina in the presence. Why is it so hard? Because building stamina in the presence is not about time. It's about death. Because what fights you in the presence is not the devil, it's the flesh. So many times when you come there, your senses will go at war. Your flesh will begin to rebel against you. But what you will do, like Paul, is that you will beat your body and bring it under subjection. Many people can't beat their body. That's why when they step out, their bodies control them. He said, I beat my body because I don't want to run this race. And at the end, I become a castaway. How many men can beat their body? In Zechariah chapter 3 verse 13, he said, be silent, all flesh, that the God of glory will ascend from his tabernacle. Many have no stamina because they are still regulated by their senses. So when they go there, 30 minutes becomes like 10 hours. And then they go and sleep. They want to sleep. They wake up. They don't feel strong today. No, your strength is not ATP. You will need to rejuvenate every day if you function by ATP. There is another energy that descends from the mountains of God. When a man tarries for a while, that energy will suck him. It will carry him. That's what Moses knew. And for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses went without food or water. Something came upon him that was eternal. And that's why when Moses came from that mountain, he came with the stories of eternity. Because he was mingling with something that was stronger than bread and wine. Stamina is what exposes us to things that are not earthly. I know you are weak, but go and read about Catherine Kuhlman. The woman was so lanky and so weak that when you saw her, it looked as if even the breeze could throw her down. But in Catherine Kuhlman's story, we heard that sometimes she could pace the floor for 18 hours. 18 hours. The man was not strong. The woman was not strong in her body. But her knee was like the knee of camel. It's the author of James, the just. They said the story of James. Sometimes James will knee by the wall. And we pray until the wall will crack. Because of the energy and the vibration that the man was releasing. And that's why James presided over the Jerusalem church. Because he had access in the heavens. He prayed. How can a man face the wall and pray until the wall cracks? That's a camel. He can carry burdens. He can bear weight. But you see, there are many weights God can't put on us because we don't have stamina. If He puts it, you will break. Imagine if God told you today that I want to send someone to the camp of the rebels. Who can go there? Imagine if God told you today, I want somebody who can empty his account. How many can give? You can't bear the weights of Abba because there is no stamina in the presence. Only camels can bear that weight. And when a camel wants to drink water, he doesn't drink one cup. Sometimes he drinks a drum. So he may have to tarry there for a long time before he's satisfied. The satisfaction of the camel is directly proportional to the weight that he can bear. Did you not read when David said, as the deer panted after the deer. When the deer matures, the deer develops 7 horns. Those 7 horns are the 7 governments of heaven. That's why the candlesticks is 7. The menorah is the 7 governments of heaven. But the way the deer grows the horn is by the pantings after the waters. A deer can scent water from 200 miles away. And nothing will stop that deer until he begins to lap that water. And as the deer laps that water, he can be deer for a whole day. And as he's doing lapping that water, you hear the breath. That vibration from that deer is government in the spirit. When men have stamina, if they enter a territory, the demons know. Because they know the people who have not been able to cross the gates. They know. There may be 1,000, 10,000 pastors in Ghana, but the principalities know the men that have stamina to cross the gates. They know. So such men don't need to shout. When they come, the moment they land, the princes know. So what the prince wants to do is to make sure that many of us can bear weight. So when you come to prayer, suddenly you begin to think about school fees. You begin to think about house rent. Suddenly you want to drink water. Suddenly you want to go to the kitchen to find out whether the window is locked. Suddenly you want to find out whether the person that said he will call you will call you. It's the flesh. But you can't please that deity unless you can decimate the flesh. It says Samuel had hewn Agag in the presence of God. It is in the presence of God that the flesh is decimated. So we must tarry there until that envelope of glory descends upon us. If we don't pray into the presence, then we have not begun to pray. We are still babes. And everything you ask for, the devil can give you. The devil can give money. The devil can give fame. The devil can give power. But there is something the devil can't give. The capacity to tame the flesh until the presence becomes your obsession. I don't care whether I lose all things, but I care after one thing. He said, for me to die is gain. That death is not a bow on your heart. That's a daily death. Every morning, you come before the altar. Sometimes you pray until the Holy Ghost takes over you. And he said, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Because you have travailed. A point comes when the Holy Ghost takes over. So the strength of this man is not what they fed on. The strength of this man is the movements of the Holy Ghost on their inside. So the man can come back from work tired in the evening. Allow him to shower. And he goes to his room by 12. When others are going to bed. And he say, Abba, Father, Mamene Fekume, Ekolakuna Hadidi Jagada, Ilia Tabo, Elevu Atina, Apovali Kakida, Aratatabo, Ebenaida. The next time he opens his eyes, it's 3 a.m. And he will be refreshed because another kind of energy has come upon him. He went to the place of prayer weak, but he came to the place of exchange where his infirmities are taken and the strength of God was given to him. These are the men that pray the burdens of God. This is why only few can do it. It's not a journey for babes. It's a journey of many miles. And only warriors can journey there. I release the sound of the heavens. The sound of creation. Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy,
holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is here. Yahweh, Yahweh.
In the spirit. Hope you know, when two pilots are talking, their glory is not how many cars they have, it's how many hours they have clocked in the air. When you clock hours in the air, you grow in rank. So captains must clock 10,000 hours in the air. It shows that they have experience. They know bird strikes. They know they have journeyed through the Euryclidon. They know the difference in the atmosphere. They know when the sun vanishes and the atmosphere is humid. They know when it rains and the tires can skid off. They have mastered all of these things. When you begin to build stamina, sometimes you come there, your body is sick. You know the technology to hold on to pray out of your body, and the sickness doesn't stop you. Sometimes when you come, the challenges of life will begin to trouble you. You know where to pray to. And when you pray there, the challenges of life become small. You know what to do when you are tired. Some of these men, when they come to the place of prayer, they want to speak in tongues, they can. And then they begin to chant in the Holy Ghost. You think they are being fully. What they are doing is that they are summoning energy from heaven. They have mastered the altar. These are the men that have power on the earth. When they want to change anything, give them time. He said, tell me my dream and interpret it. And those who don't have stamina, they say, what you ask for is not among men, it's among the holy gods. And Daniel came and said, give us time. Yes, it's true that it's among the holy gods, but there are men who know how to travel to where the holy gods dwell. The king sat in his palace, and suddenly a hand came up and wrote something. They couldn't read it. And suddenly, they went and looked for Daniel. They didn't find Daniel in a party. They found him in the cave, because that's where he dwells. And when Daniel strode out, he strode out as an ancient. They are with him in that generation, but his age is beyond that generation. Because many times, when men tarry, they can go to before the foundation of the earth. And when he came, he said, this language is not the language of men. This is the language of spirits. But I will interpret it for you. Don't worry. I dwell there. And he said, this is what that hand means. Mene, mene. Teke ufasi. And he said, you have been weighed on the balances. You have been found wanting. You have been weighed on the balances. And tonight, your kingdom shall be divided among the maidens and the patients. And then he walked out of the palace. When you see such a man, you know this is a god. And when Daniel finished talking, the Bible said the leg of the king began to shake. It was no longer majesty. His leg began to shake. He wanted to die, because somebody that have an asset that is not stored in the bank came. Your wealth in money can be stored in the bank, but your wealth in the spirit is on your knees. When you ask an unbeliever and there's a challenge, he runs to his ATM and goes to the bank. But when you come to a believer and there's a challenge, he doesn't go to the bank. He goes to his knees. Because when he kneels down, he can change things on earth. The first protocol of ascension is stamina. And when you have built stamina, a point comes when you enter the second protocol, which is the protocol of ascension. Prayers don't begin and end on earth. The altar is a place where spirit connect. It's a convergence point. When prayer begins and end on earth, it means we have not built stamina in the spirit. When a man builds stamina, the next realm of prayer opens to him is the realm of ascension, where he prays out of his body, out of his room, into the heavens. I heard a story of Patricia Kings. She traveled to heaven one day, and a young prophet was ascended to Zion, and he saw her. And months later, they now had a prophetic conference, and they met. And the prophet saw her. The prophet thought she had died. The prophet, he thought it's only dead men that go there. No. It's not called the spirit of dead men made perfect. It's called the spirit of just men made perfect. The woman was on earth, but they met in heaven. And when they were talking in the prophetic conference, people thought they were talking about the meeting. They didn't know they were talking stories from another civilization. Go and ask the men that control things in darkness. Some of them at night, they go and sleep in the coffin so that they can migrate to another dimension. It's only in Christendom we think it's a joke. When men began to pray or begins to pray, there is such a thing called ascendancy. If you don't ascend, your crisis will dominate you. Most of you here have flown in the plane. When the plane is on ground, you can see a huge mountain. Those who are on ground try to deal with mountain. That's a good realm of faith. Command the mountain to go. But there are certain men that don't bother about the mountain. Let me explain to you. When Moses wanted to cross the Red Sea, he had to part the Red Sea. When Elijah wanted to cross the Red Sea, he had to part the Red Sea. But when Jesus wanted to cross the Jordan, he didn't part it, he walked on it. There is a realm where you command mountains. That's the realm of stamina. But there is a realm where you leave the mountain behind. So when the plane takes off, after a while, you don't need to talk to the mountain. You know, when you are on ground, you will run into the mountain. But when you go high, you will not only fly above the mountain will become a mole. And the point will come when your current experience, even if you try to look at the mountain, you can't find it. The mountain will vanish. The buildings will vanish. The cars will vanish. So there are men who are commanding mountains. So if I wanted to come to Ghana and I was running, I would have more than 10,000 mountains to command. But when I flew, I didn't know if mountains existed. Even if I tried to check, I can't see anyone because I had gone above the clouds. That's the realm people go to, and they tell you they can't remember when last they had a problem. And you say it's a lie. Are we not all men? It's true, we are all men, but we function at different cadres in the spirit. I'm just showing you the wealth of prayer. I've not started talking about prayer. I'm just showing you the protocol of accessing what's in the heart of God. If you are clustered with challenges, you can't go far. They will pull you down. So what you need to do is to pray out of the realm. And even if your challenges were wanted to, they can't find you. You are lost in the cloud. So somebody comes, they say he has cancer. He will die in 2 weeks. And then he ascends. And then when he comes, he's drunk in his house. And then they say he will die. I read the story of John Austin, Joel Austin's father, the wife. She was diagnosed of cancer and they told her she would die in 10 days. Everybody prayed. They went to the best doctors. John Austin himself was a man of faith. Here was a mountain. And when she saw that commanding was not working, she gathered 40 scriptures and sat on it every day. With tongues. Shako batakato fetekida. 10 days became 10 months. 10 months became 10 years. Until she grew old, she left the realm where cancer operated. So they couldn't find the cancer. She left the cancer. It's the realm of ascension. That's why before Jesus talked about the assignment on the cross, he had to ascend. It was deliberate that Jesus went to ascend on the mountain. Because Jesus himself, if he was on ground, a point will come when he will want to run away. Hope you remember that even up to Gethsemane, Jesus said, if it were possible, take this cup from me. He wanted to run. But when nothing was happening, he knew the only technology to subscribe to was the technology of ascension. And when Jesus ascended, as he came from the garden, he told them, let's go, the hour is now. Fear vanished. When the people came, they said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus. They said, who seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. They said, I am he. And they went back and fell.
Whom seek ye?
Jesus of Nazareth.
I said to you already, I am he. They went back and fell.
They couldn't even arrest the man because he had gone to another realm. He had to tell them, I was between the temple day and night. You didn't arrest me. Why have you come in the night? He said, because it's your hour. Peter took a knife. That's how earthly men behave. And cut off the ear of one of the servants. Do you know how many soldiers came? How many knives will you need? He said, put your knife back. They that live by the sword shall die by the sword. There are men that live by the technology of ascension. They don't know death. So when the time came, he said, this commandment have I received of my Father. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. They thought they killed him. After 3 days, he came out and strode out of the grave. Who do you... They thought they killed him. They rolled a stone, covered the tomb. When 3 days came and the quota of divine justice was fulfilled, he strode out of the cave. And the soldiers that were guarding the cave with guns, they fell down and slept. They didn't even know what happened. An earthquake took place. They saw an angel descend from heaven, stood on the grave, and the stone rolled away on its own accord. They collapsed. Their whole military training failed them. Their hearts failed them. And here was the Lord of glory. He strode out of the grave. And the disciples were afraid, praying in the room. And he just walked through the wall and said, peace be unto you. No, he said, all hail the king. He had ascended. All hail the king. The man who came is a man functioning from ascended reality. When you ascend, your enemies will see you and run. They won't know what is pursuing them because you will enter, the dread of God will be upon your life. Nations will bow to you. They won't know why. Not because you are fair or tall. Not because you are dark or short. Because you are functioning from an ascended reality. The people will come sometimes. You just say, God bless you. And then they are excited. And it's not just a man of God. Even in your office. They may be plotting coup. They want to take you from your seat. Just go and ascend. When you come back, like Solomon, you will live in the midst of your enemies. You will not need to fight battles. David had stamina. Solomon had ascension. So David fought 44 battles. Solomon didn't need to throw one arrow. All his enemies were at peace with him. Because there was a realm he functioned from. You don't fight such men. Even you will advise yourself that it's a waste of time to fight them. They are living from an ascended reality. They will come to your office and then you will see that they are fighting. What is the problem? One person spoke against you and three people rose to kill that person. You didn't say anything. You will be begging the people, no, don't touch you. Don't touch you. Because you will be coming with so much glory that men will count it a great honor to serve you. In our world today, there is so much manipulation and witchcraft trying to trap people. It's because many are not ascended. When you ascend, men will leave their occupation and follow you. You will be the one telling them, no, God needs somebody in government, so go and serve Jesus there. Go and serve Jesus in the economy. And while they are there, they will be delighted that they are God's ambassador there. It will not be manipulation trying to cajole people to do something. When there is a project, people will run to support it. Because as far as they are concerned, they are walking from heaven's embassy. But few have ascended. Very few. So we depend on charisma. We depend on earthly things. You must pay the price of ascension. If we will take over this world, then we must carry something that cannot be found in the world. If we must rule this world, then we must step into something that is not of this world. How did Moses conquer Egypt? It was by ascension. The Bible said he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And God told him, I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the El Shaddai. But to you, I'm revealing myself as Yahweh. The word is actually not Yahweh. The actual word is actually Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. But you see, the Jewish man can't pronounce it because of how sacred that name is. And if you study the word, the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is representative of the four dimensions of glory. The four beasts, the lion, the eagle, the ox, and the man. The first name, Yod, has the numerical value of 10. And what that name means, Yod, it means the power to establish and to end a civilization. That's why when God wanted to create the world in Genesis chapter 1, God said 10 times. Because the number 10 is the number of wholeness. That's the code of creation. And when God wanted to end Egypt, he needed that code of 10. So Moses brought 10 plagues on Egypt. You either start a civilization or end a civilization. So in the name alone, there was power to build a civilization. Our assets are not timely. Our assets are not earthly. They are heavenly. But we must pay the price of ascension. Thank God for gifted men. We pray for the sick, they are healed. We give people direction by the prophetic anointing. We mentor people into greatness. But the best thing you can do for yourself is to carve a niche in the presence. You must learn how to tarry there and build stamina. And not just stamina. You must know how to pray out of your bedroom to where legislations are made. So when you come out of your bedroom, you didn't come out from the bed. You came out of Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No Christian is permitted to be disadvantaged. Because by the instrument of prayer alone, you can step into your greatest advantage in time. When a Christian is disadvantaged, it's because he's not taking advantage of the things that are freely given to him. The Bible said women receive their dead back to life. Not prophets, not apostles. These were ordinary women, but they knew what the womb represented in the spirit. So even when their beloved die, they sit on them like the hen incubates the egg. And they stay there, breathe upon their children until they return. Power in the realm of God. The technology of ascension. Every spiritual man can fly in the spirit. But many have not found their wings. Many have not found it because they've not come to the mountain. Many times they tried, but before they began to journey, they stopped. And most times we stop too early. So when we come with crisis, God is asking, do you not know that you are ordained a king and a priest? And do you not know that where the word of the king is, there is power? Who can say unto him, what doest thou? How come sickness is saying unto you, what doest thou? How come the demons are saying unto you, what doest thou? Knowest not thou that thou were made a king? We've not ascended. Our stature is not necessarily in our number. Our stature is in the places we can travel to and the weapons we can wield in the spirit. Three men can take over Ghana from ascended ground. Thank God for doctrine. But there are things in God that cannot be captured in the teaching. Men must travel. When John went there, he wanted to write what the seven voices told him. He said, seal it. This one can't be taught. It can only be experienced. Anybody who wants to hear the voice of the seven thunder should come to this mountain. Men are not taught these labors in the spirit. It is when we leave this world that we will discover the vast wealth that God made available to us in heaven that we never came to carry. That's when you will discover that church is not just a place of religious worship. Church is actually a portal where you come to access things that are eternal. When you ascend, then you enter the third dimension or realm of prayer. It's called the realm of stillness. That's when spiritual things are committed to you. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, it says, stand still. Then you will see the salvation of God. Stand still. Stillness is not quietness. Stillness is a position of rest. I know 20 people are bidding for the contract, but stand still. If you can stand still, even the proposal, you'll be taught how to write it. But many can't attain the place of stillness because they've not tarried to mortify flesh. They've not been ascended by the Spirit, so they don't know the technology of stillness. There is so much you can never know or access until you begin to walk in the stillness dimension. What you are looking for is already available, but it is in stillness that you can take a hold of it. Many are trying many things. The spirit realm is not a realm of trial and error. It's a realm of exactness. But only those who can be still can access it. When you have ascended, one of the proofs of ascension is not that you feel like you are flying. You come to a place of rest. So much rest that you can come out and it looks as if the devil doesn't exist. You have tried everything. There is no hope. But now you are still. And the moment you become still, all you are permitted to see is the salvation of God. But how many people have journeyed there? Man has one crisis and he has called three men of God. There's no stillness. If you become still, you will know what to do. The Bible said Jesus taught them for 3 days and they were hungry. And then they ran to him and said, "What do we do?" And they began to reason. So many thoughts began to run through their head. Even if we had a year's wages, we can't feed these people. He said, "Be still." The answer is not in your brain. Be still. Your life is too important for a 10-pound object in your head to direct you. It's not given to man that walketh to water his steps. Be still. And he said, what do they have? And he said, there's only a young lad. Imagine how God answers prayers. All the superstars and the champions, he allowed them. Because in the realm of stillness, the creative dimension comes alive. He said, we only have a young lad. How come the young lad didn't eat the bread and fish for 3 days? That means that boy was not hungry. God kept him from hunger because he was the answer. But the man who was still knew, because the Bible said he himself knew what he should do. He knew because he was still. Those who were reasoning, when they were exhausted with their reason, the master now told them, bring the fish and bread. And when they gave him the fish, he didn't say, "Father, help us, help us." He lifted it and gave God thanks and said, "Distribute it." If I was the one who collected it, I would say, "Distribute what to who?" Because there were 5,000 men. Where do I start from? Where do I start from? 5,000 men. And natural demographics reveal to you that women are always more populated than men. So if there were 5,000 men, there were a minimum of 7,000 women. And if there are women in a place, they must come with children. And you will hardly find a woman with one child. So we are not talking 5,000 people. We are talking close to 15,000 people. And they say, divide it. And all of a sudden, they began to share. When they were done sharing 5 loaves and 2 fish, they had 12 baskets left. The realm of stillness is a creative realm. That's why in Genesis chapter 1, when God came and everywhere was dark, God didn't say anything. If not because Moses wrote Genesis, you wouldn't know what God said. God was hovering upon the face of the deep. He was brooding. He was brooding. And when he attained stillness, he didn't talk about the darkness. Light appear. That was all. And the Bible said God commanded the light to come out of darkness. How does light hide in darkness? It's a mystery. That's the same way the crisis of your life is a mystery. But if you can be still, you can say, light appear. Because the realm of stillness is the realm of rest. And the realm of rest is the realm of government. Be anxious for nothing, but by all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Stillness. I know you have applied and the embassy have turned you down 3 times. Be still. I know the doctor have told you, you can't conceive a child. Be still. The moment you become still,
you receive the right to command. Have you seen a king making or giving command in anxiety? One of the things they teach royalty is stillness, comportment. They are gathered. Even when things are not working, he only gives command. And you know, commandments will never come out of anxiety. So he must have his gravity. Men who change things have one technology at work in them all the time. It's the technology of stillness. The doctor can come to the patient. The patient is dying. He said, it's well. It's well. It's well. Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. He must be still to be able to help. If he loses stillness, he loses the power to bring solution. But stillness comes after ascension. Because ascension takes you from the realm of anxiety. Stillness brings you to the realm of solutions. That's when you can also pick what is in the heart of God. Many times, you go to the place of prayer with a catalog of problems. The moment you come to the place of stillness, you will not remember one problem that you brought. The only thing you will know there is what's in the heart of God. So you went to pray for your children's school fees. You went to pray for visa approval. And then suddenly, you find yourself weeping. And you are praying for your neighbor's child. Because that's what's in the heart of God. If you don't ascend to the place of stillness, you can pray your prayer and finish praying it and go. But if you, by all means, ascend to where stillness is, you can never pray your prayer. You will only pray the prayers of the Father. That's why Jesus was praying his prayer. If it were possible, take this cup from me. But when it came to stillness, not my will, but thine. Many believers have never come to stillness. If we don't come to stillness, everything I will teach in the course of this conference will sound to your ear like mysticism and esotericism. When a man becomes still, he enters administration. The last form of prayer is legislation and litigation. That's where we administer the kingdom. Many people are on earth full of anxiety. They are making decree. Ghana, there must be peace. We decree the government, nothing will happen. Nothing. And we have prayed that prayer as individuals and as a collective people. We have hardly seen results. I come from Nigeria where we have vigils most of the time. And we make all sorts of declarations. Every time there is change, it's because first of all, we came to a place where we were one in the spirit. Where everybody left their ambition, left their desires, left everything behind, and we became one in the spirit. It's a realm of stillness. If you say anything there, it will happen. If you say anything there, it will happen, whether good or evil. You know, many people say, you can't curse. This is the New Testament. You don't know what the spirit realm is. The spirit realm doesn't know New or Old Testament. It's the realm of God's government. If you are most people, when they come to the realm of stillness, the laws that God put on their life is 10 times heavier than what the ordinary believer has. Because anything they say happens. Many people, when they ascend in the realm of God, the anointing drains from their head. They don't know why. The things they were doing when they were young, they discover they can't do it anymore. Rather, they are burdened with compassion. When you do anything, they begin to weep for you. Meanwhile, that when they were young, if you say anything, they say you are cursed. That time, no curse follows people. When they came to where they can actually curse people, God puts a burden of compassion on them. So when somebody violates them, instead of cursing them, they start crying. And then you look at them, you start fighting. Is it this man of God you are talking to? You know, he has come to stillness. There, if he says anything, he can both create and destroy. And if he says anything, he knows that the judgment upon him in the spirit realm will be heavy. He can end the generation with his voice. That's when administration begins. And what we'll be doing in the course of this conference is how to pick frequencies from the heart of the Father to bring about territorial administration through prayer. Because whether in the beginning or at the end, there are certain burdens in the heart of God that never ends. One of those burdens is the burden for souls. One of those burdens is the burden for territorial administration.
God is always interested in his people. God is always interested in territories. So even if you can't ascend to pick it, by the time we advance in this conference, you will come to a point where by prayer, you will know how to bring about territorial administration. That's when your life will count. Because by the time we are done from this realm, every one of us will proceed to another realm. The world never ends. Moses was a prophet. You look at the prophetic office, you think it ends with giving people direction. No. In the realm of God, when prophets translate, they become elders in Zion. So the prophetic ministry does not end with time. If I had time to teach about the prophetic office, I will show you the 7 things that happens to an accurate prophet when the dispensation of time ends. One of it is that a prophet becomes an elder. Most of the councils in Zion, when you go there in heaven, you will find prophets sitting there. The reason they have access to the councils of God is because they attend council meetings in heaven. And when they leave, they become elders. This is why Moses and Elijah came back to tell Jesus what he will do in Jerusalem. Because they have become council members in Zion. They were not just prophets on earth. Giving people direction is more than that. It was always about territorial governance. It is always about eternal administration. It's always about enacting the will of God and enforcing the policy statements that come from the mouth of God. So when an accurate prophet runs his race to an end, at the end of time, he becomes an elder in Zion. You will dream and then you will see Pa Elton come back to tell you about Nigeria. Because his ministry did not end after he left here. See, today, he's still an intercessor over Nigeria in heaven. Because the ministry actually begins in eternity. Earth is a place where God vets you to find out whether you'll be accurate. That's why the heaviest molecule of ministry in time is not manifestation, it's accuracy. Because if you are accurate on earth, then you qualify for your throne in Zion. I have run my race. I have kept the faith. There remaineth for me a crown of life. And Paul will tell us, do you not know that we will judge angels? So the idea behind the ministry is to prove yourself a worthy servant that will receive a well done from Christ. And at the end of time, you will be enthroned in Zion.
Aliyah, hey, Aliyah, hey,
there are many of us here. Our prayer time is 15 minutes.
You need to join the race. So as you leave here before the end of the year, there must be one focus, stamina.
There must be one focus. That thing that takes me away from prayer, it ends today. It doesn't matter who you are. I have no regard for class or pedigree. These are eternal matters. David was a king. 7 times in a day he prayed. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of God. So long as you are a believer, no matter where you are in life, you don't outgrow prayer. If there is no stamina, you have no stake in Zion. And in case you were never told before now, I came to tell you that your value is not much if you are weighed by the shekels of the sanctuary. Because when God begins to weigh men in the spirit, he finds out what he can commit to them. And committers are not gifts. Committers are entrustment. Men that have proven that God is their obsession. They can tarry there for days. Moses was the one that told God, we will not live here. That's a man that brought down a nation. More powerful than Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a god. He's called the sun god. He's not just a king. So when Moses challenged Pharaoh, Moses was actually bringing down a god from his throne. Yet, such a person with that rank knew how to prostrate before God. If you go to heaven, the highest ranking beings in heaven are the 20 and 4 elders. They have one occupation, to prostrate before the throne. Holy, holy. Nobody outgrows prayer. Not in time, not in eternity. So if you have not built stamina, then you have not begun to live. You will not know what God is saying. Men of God can manipulate you. You can be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But when you know what God is saying per time, even if a baby talks, you can pick the voice of God from that child. You can walk the street and you can pick the voice of God from a tout in the garage. Because you know the oracles of God. And when God speaks, even if it's from a donkey, you can pick it. When we are weighed, may we not be light on the scales of eternity. Whatever it is that have fought you out of the place of prayer, it's time to declare war. I know when you go to pray, sometimes you get tired. Tell yourself, if I need to sit down, I will sit. When I sleep and wake up, I will continue. But I will pray until certain gauge is attained every day. The Bible said 3 times in the day, Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem. That was a prime minister in the largest nation of the world, Babylon. As busy as he was, he could make out 3 times a day. And the least time these guys prayed were 1 hour. How can a prime minister have time to pray 3 times a day? Because the day he stops, he is no longer God's ambassador to Babylon. He may become something else, but it won't be God. Wait in the spirit. In the days of old, in Leviticus 27, before God ranked men, he said, weigh them and find out their value system by the shekels of the sanctuary. I know there is such a thing called tiredness in the place of prayer. I know. Because me too, I'm a human being. I know there's such a thing called weakness. I know there's such a thing called the crisis of life. But don't worry. There is a realm where earth was downloaded from. The end of prayer is to reach there. When you reach there, everywhere can be dark. But you will come back and say, light be. But it begins with stamina. Then you migrate to ascension. Then you migrate to stillness. Then you come into administration. There are many people who are kings, but they don't know what to do with that authority. Because they don't know what's in the heart of God. It's all about driving jeeps, flying from one nation to the other. So they become tourists on the face of the earth. When swords are looking for inheritance and territories to capture for their master, many have become tourists. When you return to Zion, they will tell you, I gave you 10 talents of gold. What did you do with it? You don't say, where was the gold? He said, that office you entered as a governor was your talent of gold. What did you do with it? I didn't know. You didn't know because you were earthly. You were so busy with business that you forgot that you are an ambassador to the economy. You were so busy with attaining professorial position that you forgot that you are an ambassador to the academia. It is prayer that will show you the urgency of what is in the heart of the Father. And when you know it, you'll be shocked. But there must be stamina. There must be ascension. There must be stillness. And then we must step into administration. These things are more than a gift. These are the things that give men value in the world to come. I came to put a burden in your heart that if you were not praying before now, this is the time. The men that God consider when he carries out his feet upon the face of the earth are not just gifted men. They are not opportune men. They are men that know how to dive into the deep part of the ocean. You want to pray now? Hey, hey, hey.
And sisters,
pardon me. I don't mean to sound arrogant, but there's an urgency in the spirit. God is in need of men. There are too many people playing religion in church. There are too many ministers building their ministries and empires. God is in need of men. If it is widows, till we find they are enough. But by all means, there is a quorum that must be attained in the spirit. Our quorum is depleted. Things that should happen cannot happen because the quorum is depleted. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And 120 men tarried for 10 days. And the Holy Ghost fell upon them. That's the betting of the church. He took the travail of 120 men for 10 days non-stop until they hit a frequency in the spirit called one accord. The gap of men in the courts of heaven is largely depleted. People gather around gifts, people gather around miracles, but there are few men around the altar. As powerful as our God is, he looks weak in our generation. But there was a time when the whole nation of Israel was under the government of God. So much so that the glory of God visibly moved with them for 40 days and 40 nights. The quorum is depleted. Men are not praying. We can negotiate in business front. We can negotiate in politics. How come we cannot negotiate on the altar? Meanwhile, we are creatures of the presence. I'm not talking to pastors. I'm talking to every believer in the body of Christ. How come when it comes to negotiations on the altar, we become weak? But we can attend political meetings for 7 hours. We can attend business meetings for 10 hours. Why is the altar so hard? Because we've not given ourselves. The disciples said, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Most of us, the season has come when we will lock the door off our phones. Even if the president comes, don't open it. And lie down and say, today, that thing that makes men pray must come on me. And then we will pray there. We will pray for 30 minutes. Tomorrow we will come back. Next tomorrow we will come back. And we will tarry there until that dynamo is activated. And glad are you if it happens. That's when the God that they preach to you from age 1 to age 40 will come to you himself. And then you will know you are not a stranger walking into church to hear the stories of God. You will know you are a son in the courts of God. And you also have the right to hear the voice of your father.
Aliyah. Aliyah, 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 aliyah. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh.
I know you can sing. I know you can dance. I know you can read. I know you can write. I know you can walk. There are many things I know you can do, but can you pray? That's where the fulcrum of life is. Can you pray? Let's pray in the spirit for 5 minutes. And I will release something on someone. Break forth, O fountains of the deep. Cry out, God, you are my Savior.
like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire,
like fire,
like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like the rain, let it fall. Like fire,
like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall.
Like fire,
like fire, like rain, let your glory fall.
Baptism of prayer, that men will begin to carry burdens in the spirit. Men will become impregnated with burdens in the heart of God, and they will carry that body like Manoah's wife, and they will bet warriors, giants, visions and purposes.
Hey,
please, can we be calm for a second? Peace be still. Just play the keyboard for me. There are three kinds of angels that work with me. One of them are angels of fire. What they do is that they ignite men. I tell you, you have done well thus far, but there is much more that awaits you. If you can journey the spirit, you will marvel the things you will collide with. It will be too big for you. You will become a joy of many generations. Father, please be sensitive now. There is a layer of God's fire that will descend on few of you now. It's tomorrow that I will get brutal. But these ones I speak of, the fire of their, on their altar will not only be kindled, but it will never go out. They will become like the waters of heaven. When there is a movement in the throne room, they will pick it from earth. Legislators on the face of the earth, not just ambassadors, help the brother, enforcers of the policies that are divine. Father, the hour has come. Beyond the message, the impartations of the Spirit, the graces that makes for the things we share to come alive in men, I ask that you lift your hands upon seven of them. Power!
touch. The heritage of Ghana is the heritage of prophets and intercessors. In the spirit, you have no rank until you are either a prophet or an intercessor without class or pedigree. Right now, I stretch hands over you. I say, Holy Ghost, baptisms of fire, touch.
Ushers, bring them. I want to touch them.
Now. Touch. Enedu dabu eno. Ojo do dabu eno. Ohimini e. Afata kebeti. Give me volume. Enedu dabu eno. Ojo do dabu eno. Ohimini e. Afata kebeti. Enedu dabu eno. Ojo do dabu eno. Ohimini e. Scepters have been handed in the spirit. Scepters. Men will come into levels of authority that they know they could never have bargained for. Holy Ghost. Seven governments of God. Touch. Touch. I release that fire. Touch.
You can let them be.
Touch intercessors of rank in heaven. Kadosh, Kadosh, Elohim Aduna. The angels of fire have begun to minister. Elohim. Kadosh, Kadosh, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Rehosh. Kadosh, 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 Elohim. We came to talk about the buildings of God. Right now, receive impartations. Receive impartations of that body, of that body. From the left to the right, from the front to the back. Touch, touch, touch. Receive impartations. I'm seeing altars being set on fire. Men, we go home and sleep will be taken from them. Intercessors of love. Pateke Zubatakada. Berianda Tabone Kapa. Shabak the Tonina Bade. Berianda Toa. Kaskapade the Sinamando Kwadu.
Listen to me, brothers and sisters. What's happening in this auditorium is not just people falling down. God is impregnating men with burdens that will cause them to ascend to realms of scepters. Scepters in the spirit. Help, please help her. Help her. I'm seeing something like an apron floating somewhere around here. And the Lord tells me it's a governmental scepter. Please help the sister. It's to give you power in political corridor. God wants to raise one of you in the political corridor. And it's by the instrumentality of that scepter. And so right now I stretch my hands
in this direction. Holy Ghost, touch. Touch. Touch.
So river flow, river flow. Let it down, oh, river flow. In your church, once again. Let it down, it be seen. River flow, river flow. Let it down, oh, river flow. In your church, once again.
Touch!
River, river flow, river flow. Let it all river flow.
River flow.
In your church.
Let your church.
You see, I'm seeing something in the spirit. On this row here, towards the back, I'm seeing something hovering. And the Holy Ghost is telling me, he said, it's the mantle of Father Nash. There's an intercessor about to be coronated there. Help that sister. Help her. So she's not injured. Towards the back there, there's an intercessor.
Power of the Holy Ghost. Touch. Touch. I provoke that activation.
Please help them so they are not injured. Let the tunnel river flow in your church.
Ghana, your heritage is of the prophets and of the intercessors. So everyone must rise into his rank in the army of God.
In your church, once again, let the tunnel.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please, those of you here, lift your hands. There is a terrible seer anointing that's about to fall on a lady here. It's a terrible anointing. Listen, we have ascended so we can bring administrations in the spirit. There's a terrible seer anointing. Father, every one of them implicated by that utterance. Help that sister. Touch.
Stretch your hands towards me, sisters. You are not singers, you are witnesses.
You are not singers. I see fire standing on your head. And so, in the name of Jesus, take. Matekizo Zavakada Zazaina Takila Barokta Zazin de Teriata Shadak Manta Kibaro de Dende Shilea. Some of you, God began something with you yesterday.
Yes, Lord. The
anointing continues. That download of the Spirit that came upon you yesterday, it is still resting. Right now, I provoke it. I provoke it. I provoke it. Touch!
The Lord is solving problems, catalogs of issues. I've seen somebody somewhere, they are contending over land or something. God is dealing with issues. I didn't come with the focus of addressing. Is there somebody there like that? God is dealing with issues. I'm seeing all of those happen. But tonight, the burden of the Spirit is to impregnate you with that which is in the heart of God.
Fresh fire.
Let it all up.
Fresh fire. I provoke that impartation.
You will step into dimensions of waters and witnesses in the spirit. Fresh.
Let it an old river flow in your church once again. Let it an
tomorrow we will enter into spiritual legislation by prayer. I will show you the protocols of warfare. It will be a power service, volatile and explosive by the Spirit. River flow, let it an river flow. Your church.
Let's just give him glory. Protocol, can you take the man of God to the office? Let's appreciate the grace. Appreciate the grace. That song you sang, that praise song you sang yesterday. We're lifting up a song unto the Lord in, and we want to celebrate grace before we leave here.
Oh, clap your hands.
Come on,
sing. All ye people, and shout unto God. Oh, clap your hands. Sing. Oh, clap your hands.
Time.